Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Muy buenos dias, Wake Up America. Happy Friday, May 26th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air on the feast of St. Philip Neri, the patron saint of Rome. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning and joining us here across America and beyond on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It is a joy. It's great to be with you on this Friday as we all get ready for the long Memorial Day weekend and, of course, the solemnity of Pentecost this Sunday, the birthday of the church. Let's also remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on this last Friday of May. Now, today is day 8 of the traditional Pentecost novena to the Holy Spirit. Every day we've been praying for an increase of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today we ask for the gift of wisdom, the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby the Divine Spirit raises up our intellect and our heart to rest in God alone. Wisdom has been called the blossom of all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And once again, I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines this hour here on this last Friday in May?
Well, whether heading to the beach or the ball game or church or cemetery over the weekend, a lot of traveling going on. AAA says we'll be well ahead of levels that were first seen before the COVID-19 pandemic, expecting some gas prices to be a little bit lower than last year as well. Nearly 3.5 million travelers expected to go by air as well, with today expected to be the busiest day at the airports too. Folks with the TSA say get there a couple hours early as well.
It's the unofficial start of summer. A lot of folks looking forward to this day and this weekend. The actual summer doesn't start for another 3 weeks.
Well, I think, if you live where it's not warm that much, whenever it's warm, it's summer and you're good to go. And so that's what's going on. I tell you, even our nation's legislators are enjoying the weekend off, except for a few of the leaders remaining behind in Washington, D.C. They still don't have a budget deal yet to limit the spending with that deadline looming for next Thursday, June 1st. President Biden confident there'll be a debt ceiling agreement reached. And Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker and a Republican, says we're not there quite yet.
Yes, and the deadline continues. Like we said earlier in the week, we've seen this movie before, and I'm sure that they will come to some kind of an agreement before the deadline, as they always do. Meanwhile, pro-life story out of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this was in his contract or not, but Minnesota Twins manager Rocco Baldelli expecting twins. And yes, this has happened before as well. All-star catcher Joe Mauer from a few years back, their first kids were twins as well. So that can happen. Not just two, but five folks on the court making a big difference, especially one, Jason Tatum, for the Boston Celtics. They're still alive in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA. They beat Miami again last night to 110-97. The Heat still up 3-2, but that series being extended, John.
Yeah, it was a total blowout. I watched the first half and went to bed knowing that the Celtics were more than likely going to hang on. And in fact, we're going to talk some NBA hoops here momentarily with a longtime Northridge Prep Athletic Director and basketball coach, Coach Will Ray, will be joining us to break it all down for us. So some happenings on the ice as well in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, a lot of the playoff business has been going to overtime, this time in the Western Conference. Dallas hanging in there, staying alive. 3-2 win overtime over Vegas. The Golden Knights still up 3-1 in that Western Conference final series. And the Florida Panthers resting up and waiting to face whomever is the winner in the NHL finals.
You know what I always like about this time of year is that we all of a sudden become Relevant Radio Morning Air sports reporter on the ice, on the court, on the field. We get all the updates and we get a little mini sports section. I love it. And it's going to continue, John.
Oh, I love it as well. And, started, you know, 20 years ago as a sports reporter here on Morning Air. So it's only fitting. We like to look at everything that's happening in the world through our Catholic eyes. And so even sports, and we'll be chatting sports and hoops here momentarily. Thanks again, as always, Glenn and Sarah.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We start every hour always in prayer. First things first, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, remembering that every day is a blessing, every day is a gift. And we always pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, a patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio and my hero, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning, and especially during this Pentecost novena when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. If you want to send us an email directly, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. All right, all you sports fans and hoop fans, we're going to talk some NBA basketball. The NBA Finals begin next Thursday, June 1st, with Denver taking on the winner of the Miami-Boston series. The Denver Nuggets finished off a four-game sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers on Monday night this week to win the Western Conference Finals and advance to their first NBA Finals in franchise history, as heard on TNT Sports.
Reeves is the inbounder. Reeves holding. James comes out of the pack. James on the drive. Goes inside. Stop. Shot lock. Gets it back. It's over. It's over. Denver makes history. The Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history.
What a great moment. And last night in the Eastern Conference Final, in Boston's TD Garden, the number two-seeded Celtics blew out the number eight-seed Miami Heat. 110-97 was the final to avoid elimination for the second game in a row. Also, as heard on TNT Sports.
Outside smoke. Tease head inside. Tatum triple. Off to White. A three. It's never happened, as we've mentioned multiple times. A team coming back down three games to none and in again, an NBA playoff series.
The Celtics' Derek White led the way with 24 points with 6 3-pointers on the night. They were raining three-pointers last night. Jason Tatum scored 21 with 11 assists and 8 boards. Game 6 in Miami Saturday night as the leading scorer in that game, of course, was Derek White. And they're going to need a lot of him and Jason Tatum coming up for that game 6 with the Heat still leading that series 3-2 as we await the winner. The winner will face the Denver Nuggets. That will mean that Denver will be trying to shock the world once again and win their first ever NBA championship. So it brings up the question about the game of basketball, which has been called a metaphor for life, as sports in general is as well. And we can learn so much about life, both on the professional level and even at the high school level. Joining us this morning to talk some NBA hoops and some of the virtues of the game is Coach Will Ray, the longtime athletic director and head coach at Northridge Prep in Niles, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. Coach Ray has coached basketball for more than 40 years at the high school and university Division I levels. He was inducted into 3 halls of fame, the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, the Chicago Catholic League, and the 5-Star Basketball Camp Hall of Fames. Good morning, Coach Ray. Welcome back to Morning Air. It is so good to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. How are you doing? It's a pleasure to be with you as well.
Well, doing well. I watched the first half of last night's Boston-Miami game, and would like to, first of all, get your take of what has impressed you the most so far during these NBA playoffs.
Well, for sure, I can't help but be impressed by the emergence of the Miami Heat in the East. They came in as the number 8 seed. You know, won 44 regular season games, I believe, and they have since knocked off the number 1 seed, the Bucks, the New York Knicks, and now they're, you know, took this 3-0 lead in the Boston series. But this is getting quite interesting, John, with Boston coming back and winning the last two games.
It is. And in fact, if any of our listeners, if you're a Hoops fan and you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking NBA finals. We're talking about the conference finals here with Coach Will Ray. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How a surprise have you been with the other series with Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets sweeping LeBron James and the Lakers 4-0, even though King James had a huge game with 40 points there in the final game in Game 4?
Yeah, the Nuggets have been very impressive. You know, they've persevered so strongly behind Jokic's performance, which has been, I mean, he's gotten to a point now where he's not one of the best player in the NBA, certainly one of the top two or three, and he's becoming a permanent fixture in the conversation for MVP each year, right? He won it in 21, won it in 22, and nearly won it this year as well. And again, you can't help but be impressed by their performance. I think they've won 12 of the 15 playoff games they've played. Like I said, sweeping the Lakers in the conference finals. Jokic, in fact, I believe he's the first player in NBA history who's averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists in a conference final. So his performance has just been absolutely dominant.
Yeah, his numbers are amazing. He's been able to notch the most triple doubles in a single postseason since Wilt Chamberlain did it a long time ago. So this is a big guy, Coach. You can appreciate this guy is 7'2", 280 pounds, but he passes the ball and shoots like a guard.
Yeah, he's incredible to watch his skill development for a player his size and just the impact, John, that a guy with that kind of skill level at that size has on the game. You know, his intelligence, unselfishness. He makes the players around him better. He's a great passer and ball handler. He has tremendous vision. And then also, you know, John, what sometimes is missed in the conversation about the Denver Nuggets is how effective a player Jamal Murray has been playing together with Jokic and the two of them. You know, Murray, I think, averaged close to 30 points a game this season as well. And you know, they're just a 1-2 punch that's very, very difficult to deal with defensively at any level of basketball, including the NBA.
Well, in that clinching game against the Lakers afterwards, LeBron James looked awfully dejected, getting swept 4-0, and there was even some question as to whether or not he might even come back. Do you think the all-time leading NBA scorer in history will retire, or do you think he'll come back?
It'll be interesting. You know, I think I read a blurb yesterday that he's actually had some foot injuries that he's played with throughout the course of the season. Possibly a torn tendon, I think I read, and it might require surgery in the off season. So, you know, someone at this point in his career may have to assess, you know, whether he has the durability and the you know, how much that kind of an injury will affect his performance.
All right, your prediction. Do you think that the Miami will pull off the big upset? Because even though they've been leading and they were up 3-0, it still would be an upset for the number 8 seed to knock off the number 2 seed of Boston. What do you think will happen in Game 6?
Well, I still like the Heat, and I did all along. Once they beat Milwaukee 4-1 in that series, I just liked the way their team was coming together. So I think they're going to prevail in this series, but you know, Boston's performance the last two games has given me some pause to maybe reconsider that. But John, you can't ignore the fact that no team in NBA history has been down 3-0 in a series and come back to win it. I think it's happened something like 100+ times where a team's been down 3-0 and, you know, it's gone to a seventh game, I think, on, I don't know, several occasions, but no one's ever come back from that. I think it's going to be awfully hard for Boston to win two games in a row here to win the series. So I'm going to go with the Heat.
What about on the other side? Do you think Denver has a good chance? Would they be the favorites going into the finals?
I think so. They've just been so dominant throughout the course of the playoffs. And, you know, they won, 54, 55 games this year in the regular season. I think if they remain healthy the rest of the way, although I do think this, if the Heat-Celtics series goes seven, this time off could impact the early games of the series. But I do like the Nuggets. I just think the Jokic-Murray combination is just too good to deal with. And I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I think I would take the Nuggets.
Well, only one team can come away with the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and it all starts next week on June 1st with the NBA Finals. Coach, I want to shift gears and talk about your Northridge Prep Knights, who had a fantastic season. I was able to see some of the games, some really, really good high school basketball games. Your team finished 24-10 before losing in the sectional semifinals. It's a team that never gave up. How have you been able to inspire these young guys to never give up once again this year?
Well, John, I mean, to be perfectly honest, whatever credit needs to be had for the success of our team this year, or really the success of our basketball program at Northridge over the past 19 years that I've been coaching there, belongs to the players. And their families by extension, but it's the players that make make the team successful, make the program successful. It's their commitment, their hard work, their willingness to adhere to team principles and put others ahead of themselves. Really, that makes our program successful. And from a coaching perspective, you asked about how we inspire players or teams. It's really to give them a reason for competing and a reason for participating that goes beyond the wins and the losses, right? I mean, so much is made of the final outcome of the score, who won, who lost. Like in running a business, right? I mean, of course, the profits and the losses and those types of numbers. The bottom line is important. But we tend to focus more on the process of building a team, and rather than focusing on the outcomes, we talk to our players a lot about taking their eyes off of the scoreboard, and putting their focus on reaching individual and collective potential. How do you help the people around you? How do you help them be the best that they can be? And the humility and the passion and that goes with that, and the self growth and awareness is really how we approach it. And again, we just try to give them a reason beyond the final outcome of an athletic contest as the compelling reason why you should do this. So anyway, it's helped us, and I think it helps them enjoy the experience as well.
Well, there were some fantastic moments this past season, and like I said, I got to see some of them. And I've seen a lot of high school basketball over the years as a sports reporter and anchor. Back in the day, I saw a lot of exciting high school finishes. And Coach, the game in the regional championship when you guys won in double overtime with 8 seconds left on a steal was one of the most exciting high school basketball games I've ever seen of all time.
Well, thanks, John. I gotta tell you, I gotta admit, I'm glad I had a front row seat for that one, because what our players did that night was absolutely outstanding. Just the resolve that they displayed and the perseverance. What's sometimes lost as we reflect on that outcome is that we had fouled out our leading rebounder and our leading scorer and team captain and team leader. Jonah Fairbank was in a training room with severe cramps and double overtime. So we had our backs truly to the wall. and really had to rely on each other. And the way that game ended was, you know, I've been coaching for a long time, and as you mentioned, both at the college and high school level, and I don't know that I've experienced anything quite like that with a steal 8 seconds to go and laying the ball in as the buzzer was sounding. In fact, somebody told me that, I guess it was captured on video, and that it had something like 2 million impressions online. So it was quite a special win and a tribute and credit to our players.
Coach, it was like something out of a Hollywood movie, the way that one ended. I'll never, ever forget it. And the mass pandemonium on the court as the entire student body got out there to celebrate. You know, but the one thing that I remember when I chatted with you briefly for a moment was you reminded me about the power of prayer and how the prayers in the mass earlier that day kind of set the stage for that game.
Well, that's true, John. In fact, one of the things that I try to do is look at some of the prayers of the mass and try and keep them with me throughout the course of the day. And so, yeah, I think that was inspiring to me, and hopefully I was able to, you know, inspire the players in the way a coach can in terms of his, you know, really pretty small role in the whole thing. So yeah, that again, the entire atmosphere and the, you know, the atmosphere in our locker room before the game and on the bench during the game at halftime, it was just so team-oriented and other-centered that that it was just inspiring for me to see.
And what really made the season also really special was that you had three seniors that led the way, and it was a team that really wasn't expected to have the great record that you had, and yet they were such a great example on the court and off the court.
They were, John. What was really remarkable about the season is that we had an outstanding year a year ago, winning 26 games, but we graduated 9 seniors. So really, this was a team returning with no experience, or relatively no experience, except for our captain, Jonah Fairbank. And so the other two seniors, co-captain Timmy O'Toole, Nick Budge, they really led our team in a very incredible way. They're high-character guys, outstanding students. Two of them are headed off to Notre Dame. The third was the class salutatorian. So these are selfless leaders with a great work ethic, and they were able to lead our team in a really inspiring way for me as a coach to just observe.
It's also inspiring to see the team praying before games. Can you talk about how, as a coach at a Catholic prep school, you remind your players about you know, the spiritual life and always looking to the Lord for help?
Well, absolutely, John. I mean, you know, one of the things to always remind ourselves of, and we try to talk to our team about, is that, you know, every honest human activity is an opportunity to bring glory to God and to grow closer to Him, right? So no matter what it is that we do, that can be a form of prayer. And that, you know, no different with playing sports. So, you know, the opportunity to be thankful and to be humble in the presence of God and to be have a spirit of gratitude for, you know, the sporting experience, for one's talents, for the good health and the opportunity to play. You know, we realize that every good and perfect gift comes from God, so no different in the athletic experience. It's an opportunity to increase our character, increase our virtue, and grow closer to God.
And, Coach, you've been doing it for such a long time, for so many years there, not only at Northridge, but even before that, for, you know, 4 decades, instilling on all of your players the importance of discipline and teamwork and really giving it your all.
Yeah, you know, that's it, John. I mean, that's the reason I coach and I continue to coach. And people will, you know, often remark, well, geez, how much longer are you going to do? Aren't you tired of doing this? And I tell them, you know, no, I'm not. I mean, most people retire and go do what they love, and I'm already doing what I love, so I enjoy it. And again, it's because we're looking at the benefit of the experience well beyond the winning and losing, or, you know, capturing trophies or putting banners on the wall. Not that any of those things are bad by any means, but if we're not better men as players and coaches for having gone through the athletic experience, then we probably should find something else to do.
Well, Coach Ray, thanks so much for your perspective on the NBA Finals and also for sharing a little bit about your outstanding Northridge Prep nights as well.
Well, thank you, John. It's always a pleasure being on with you. And now, don't hold me to any predictions here, because usually I pick the wrong winner.
All right. We'll all be waiting to see what happens in the finals. Thanks again. Coach Will Ray, the longtime athletic director and head coach at Northridge Prep in Niles, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. We're going to take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Sacrament of Confession with digital media priest Father David Michael, who will share his amazing experience about hearing confessions for 65 hours during Holy Week and the more than 1,100 souls who came back to life spiritually. Stay with us as this Friday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. Happy Friday. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this last Friday of the Easter season as we get ready to celebrate Pentecost this Sunday and, of course, Memorial Day weekend. Our power scripture from the playbook of life, as we do every morning, is from John 14:26. Jesus the Lord says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Our Lord Jesus Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit in his name. Let's receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit on this eighth day of the Pentecost novena. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have great power to penetrate hard human hearts. At our confirmation, the Spirit gave us the gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Receive and exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy that my good friend Drew Mariani prays every afternoon. Jesus, I trust in you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, the great St. Augustine called the confessional the medicine box. Why? Because there is a great physician there with the priest representing him, and we are injured. We are in need of healing. We go in with our sins, and we come out clean. We've talked about St. John Vianney, the Cur des Arts, the patron saint of parish priests, who had a massive number of people waiting to go to confession with him. St. John Vianney would hear confessions for anywhere from 12 to 16 hours a day in a little town called Ars in France. Well, we think we have a modern-day Cur des Arts, but he could be called the Cur of Spring, Texas. He explained his most recent experience in this Instagram post.
Hey, it's Father David Michael, and this was one of my craziest weeks as a Catholic priest. I heard 1,167 confessions over the course of 65 hours. I noticed when I got ordained that Holy Week seems to be a time when Jesus is really tugging at hearts, especially if it's been a long time since their last confession. So I wanted to make it as available as possible. We prepped by filling hundreds of bottles with holy water to give out to people as they came, and I jumped on the trampoline because this is all about helping people bounce back. I then woke up early to hop in the box. We had people come in as early as 6 a.m. and as late as midnight. I tried to stay hydrated, and because people ask, I took quick breaks to use the bathroom and ate my meals behind the screen. At one point, we had 100 people in line, some waiting 2 hours. It was definitely tiring, but I can't think of anything I would rather be doing with my life. Huge thanks to my pastor for letting this happen and to everyone who prayed for me throughout the week. I love being a priest, and if you need to go to confession, I'm here.
And now joining us live from Spring, Texas, in suburban Houston, is Father David Michael, the parochial vicar of Christ the Good Shepherd Catholic Church, to talk about hearing those confessions for 65 hours during Holy Week and the more than 1,100 souls who came back to life spiritually. Father David Michael is a popular young priest on a mission to share his faith through digital media with contagious joy, good humor, and genuine love for others. Good morning, Father David Michael. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It is a joy to be with you once again.
Thank you so much for having me back. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, Father, are you trying to get into the priestly Guinness World Book of Records with what you did during Holy Week? I mean, that is unbelievable.
Well, I was just so thankful people were coming. You know, you mentioned, you know, John Vianney and Padre Pio. We kind of grew up, you know, I think a lot of us as Catholics, right, grew up listening to stories, have been hearing confessions, and they were doing this, you know, every day, almost year round for years and years and years. And so when Holy Week came around, I thought maybe we can do it for a few days, you know, and try to see, because it really does seem like right before Easter is a time that the Lord is really tugging at hearts and trying to call people back. So really just trying to make it available.
How special was it for you to just get a taste, although it was just a few days, but, you know, I mean, 65 hours is still a lot of time there during Holy Week, to get a, you know, an idea of what the Courtier, St. John Vianney, actually went through for so many years?
It's insane. I mean, I think for me, just the beauty of those moments of conversion, to be able to witness kind of that interior journey for people in the person of Christ is really just insane. And he was, you know, we had rooms set up for it and everything, so I was a little bit more comfortable, but he, you know, he was in probably one of those conditional confessionals, you know, and on that wood bench, just in there all day. And just, it's incredible to think how many souls he was bringing back to the faith. Cause as a priest, I mean, it's just, I constantly am just asking myself, like, how is this even possible that I get to be in here, that I get to be a part of this moment with Christ and with this person, and just to see what he's doing, because it's just unreal.
Well, it was unreal. How did you keep track of the numbers? I mean, that is a lot of folks over those 65 hours during Holy Week while you were hearing those confessions. Did you notch a little, you know, a check mark? You keep number. How did you keep track of the numbers?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I happened to have the number at the end, but that certainly wasn't something I was thinking about when we started. I actually wasn't even in counting. We had some volunteers who were helping out, and they just kind of naturally started counting themselves. And I mean, I recognized it seemed like there were a lot of people coming. And then it wasn't really till the end of the week that they said, "Hey, Father, we just," they had a little clicker, and they said, "We counted 1,167 for this week," which really blew my mind when I heard that, because you're just going one person at a time. You know, you're really just thinking about the person in front of you. So it was kind of crazy to me that it filled up. And, you know, I had people ask me if we ran like a huge campaign for confession in the prior 6 weeks or all throughout Lent, or if, you know, we told people to wait and go to confession, you know, the week before or something like that, none of that happened. I mean, I certainly preach on confession regularly, but honestly, John, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary in terms of us trying to get people to go. We just, at the parish, just said we'd be available. And that availability for people, we certainly tried to make that known. You know, we posted on social media and then put it on bulletins and that kind of thing. But really just the availability, you know, you just be available as a priest, and it really seemed like the Holy Spirit was doing the rest.
Father David Michael, obviously, you know, the numbers are impressive. 1,167 souls coming back. But really, that's really what it's all about. You're in there in persona Christi, representing our Lord. You are Christ to every one of these people. How special was that?
It's just crazy. I'm just so, you know, the thought I kept having consistently was, there's just nothing else I would rather be doing in this moment. There's nothing else that would be more meaningful, more impactful than me in this confessional here with this person, in the person of Jesus, forgiving their sins. Like, what would be better to give my life to than this? And it's, I had someone ask me, like, I hope you're psychologically okay at the end of those confessions. And the beauty of it is it's not, you know, David Michael in there carrying the weight of sin. It's David Michael conformed to the person of Jesus as a priest who is just walking with these people for a moment, you know, in sin, certainly, but really bringing them to mercy. And so, you know, as a priest, I'm not real focused actually on all the sins. I'm really focused on the mercy part. The sin happened. It was bad. It was damaging. It was horrible. But we're about to take care of it. You know, sin has a solution, and that is the death of Jesus on the cross. And he can take care of your sin. So ultimately, the confessional, you know, each person that walks in comes in with a different story, a different background, different sins, different struggles. But it always ends in a win for Jesus Christ. You know, I know Jesus is going to win this thing every single time they come in, no matter who they are. So it's really 1,167 wins. It's win after win after win after win. And that's really why you do it, is to be part and hopefully an instrument of Christ's victory in that moment.
Well, there's no question that you've been used as an instrument for our Lord. Can you share with us why at this time it is so important for people to go to confession at a time when in many other parishes, you know, you see, you know, so few people waiting in line to go to confession? You know, it almost seems like a lot of Catholics have forgotten about the beauty of this sacrament.
I know. You're right. There are people you encounter who just kind of, maybe they come to Mass, right? And they care a lot about their Catholic faith, but they just don't think they need confession. And for me, that's just a tragedy, because sin is a real problem. Sin is sin because it hurts us. And if we're not doing anything to get rid of our sin, then we're simply just living in it. And that's putting us on a really bad path eternally. And often what I tell people is Jesus suffered horribly on the cross for our sins. He came on a mission to save us, and he's not offended when we come to confession. I think he's offended when we don't come, when he did all that work on the cross of salvation, and we don't even bother to show up and to receive it. And Jesus makes it quite clear in several places in Scripture that he gives the authority of forgiveness of sins to the apostles, and that's been passed on to us. So theologically, we are not setting ourselves up for success by not coming to confession. But I think the church, in her great wisdom, there is just so many levels to confession. Even just psychologically, I find it so healthy to come into a confidential, anonymous space and to actually have to say your sin. There's a line I love: how do I know what I think until I hear what I say? That so often the devil is so, so effective at keeping everything in the darkness, everything in the shadows, just kind of keeping it confusing, you know, kind of breeding confusion in the soul. And coming to confession, speaking the sin, is certainly difficult, but it also brings so much light and clarity to our lives. But we can see, you know, I actually did that. I actually did that. And I need to not do that again. And so you get to actually say the sin, process it, bring it to the light. And then what you get in return is the priest speaking audibly, I absolve you from your sins, go in peace. And that's what people are ultimately missing by not going to confession, is they're missing that last line, go in peace.
It's a beautiful thing, no question about it. I love your emphasis on the mercy of our Lord. It's like an infinite ocean of mercy. Our sins are finite, but God's ability to forgive our sins is endless. And so I want to continue to talk about the beauty of the sacrament of confession. I also want to open up our phone lines. If you have any thoughts on the power of the sacrament of reconciliation, of confession, if going to confession has changed your life, if you were away for a long time and you came back and went to confession, I would love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for digital media priest Father David Michael at 888 914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation on confession with Father David Michael. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to this Friday edition of Morning Air as we get ready for the long Memorial Day weekend. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. We are talking about the beauty of the sacrament of confession with digital media priest Father David Michael, who, can you believe it, heard confession for 65 hours during Holy Week earlier this year. We're talking about over 1,100 souls who came back to life spiritually. Father David Michael, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
If you want to be part of our conversation, if you have any questions, anything you might want to share about confession, again, our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, what do you say to somebody who may be listening, who's been away from confession for a really long time? I mean, we've had stories of folks that have been away 5, 10, 20, even 40 years, and they come back from something that they hear on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so here's what I would say, and I know there are definitely people in that boat, and there seems to be a common misconception that people are afraid, if it's been a long time since the last confession, that when they come in, the priest is going to be disappointed at them, like mad at them or frustrated. And what's so interesting is it's actually the complete opposite. If somebody comes in, it's been a month since their last confession, I'm really glad that they're there, right? But they're on a good path, right? If they hadn't come in that day, they probably would have found another confession. You know, that they're going regularly, that's great. But if it's been 2 years, if it's been 10 years, if it's been 30, 40, 50 years, oh, I'm ecstatic that they're coming back. Like, I feel like my time is really being used very well, and that this is why I became a priest, was to bring them back. So that's the first thing I would say, is to not feel like the priest is going to be mad, because he's actually going to be really thrilled that you're coming back. That's why we became priests. The thing I would say, too, is there's lots of good resources out there. People are nervous about what it's going to look like. They can definitely look online and see various outlines for how confessions would work, watch videos so that they feel more comfortable coming in. But for sure, if they just come in and say, hey, Father, it's been a long time, I don't know what to do, we are more than happy to walk them through the process. So we don't want that to be a barrier for people. You know, Blessed Francis Xavier Silo said, there's no soul in hell because their sins were too great, but because their trust was too small. Because no matter how big your sins are, or no matter how long it's been since your last confession, the death of Jesus on the cross is enough to cover that and bring you mercy. Really, what's left for us is to simply trust God with our sins. Souls don't go to hell because their sins were too big. They go to hell because they weren't willing to trust the Lord with their sins. So that would be my encouragement for anyone who's been away for a long time. Trust the Lord with your sins and come back.
Great words of wisdom, Father. Joe is joining us from San Francisco. He's up early this morning. Joe, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father David Michael.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Good morning. I just wanted to say some of the most intimate, beautiful parts of my life were in the confessional, especially when I was in my early 20s. When I was going through all kinds of girlfriend issues. That's number one. And Father, what if you get a situation, somebody comes in there, really needs to spend the time, like 30, 45 minutes. How do you handle that delicate situation when you know there might be 10 people in line?
Yeah, well, one, I'm so glad you've had positive experiences in the confessional. That's so good for people to hear. No, I'm glad you asked that question. We had a moment on Wednesday of Holy Week when there were 100 people in line, and people were waiting 2 hours, and I was by myself at that point. And it's exactly what you said. There are moments when people will bring in some really heavy things, and I want to be present to them, but we also have 100 people waiting outside that I don't. It's okay for people to wait a little bit, but I didn't want people to leave and then not be able to go to confession before Easter. So I tried to go as quickly as I could, you know, efficiently as I could with the people who really knew where they were headed and had a clear idea of what they wanted to confess. With people who maybe need some more time, I would take a little bit more time, and then I would say, hey, please reach out to a priest or reach out to me, and we can talk about these things more. We're going to get you God's forgiveness, his mercy right now, but you might want to process these things a little bit more outside the confessional, and we have a lot more time to do that if you make an appointment. So it's very stressful, those moments, but I really rely on the Holy Spirit to say the word that I maybe can't say in that moment.
Thanks so much, Joe. Good question. Really appreciate it. We go to Rachel calling us this morning from Illinois. Good morning, Rachel. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father David Michael.
Hi. Good morning, Father. So I just wanted to give a quick testimonial. So when I was in college, I actually unfortunately had fallen away from practicing the faith for many reasons, but toward the last 2 years that I was going there, I actually came back to the faith, was going to Mass regularly at a little church off campus, but actually due to Relevant Radio, I started listening. My dad kind of turned me on to listening to different programs, and I figured out that, unfortunately, I was not in a state of grace, and I had been receiving the Eucharist unworthily, so I made it a point to go back to confession, and my experience was, the little church I was going to, the only way we could go there was face-to-face, which I had never done before. It was the most vulnerable experience of my life, and I found myself crying, but I also just felt in the most real way, the most overwhelming sense of just God's love and peace and mercy from it. So just wanted to say, you know, Relevant Radio has educated me so much on the faith, but I'd like to think that that also helped me spiritually so much by coming back after so many years of falling away.
Well, yeah, well, praise God for Relevant Radio and the work that they're doing. And it's great that you, your heart was open to receive that, respond to that. You know, sometimes we do, we have something that lets us know that our soul is not the way it should be. And that can be a very hard moment. But ultimately, when it comes to the moral life, ignorance is not bliss, because sin, whether we're having awareness of it or not, sin always is hurting us. It's causing negative effects in our lives, the lives of our family, and the body of Christ. So that awareness of maybe something we need to come confess is very hard, but ultimately that's really good for us in terms of our growth. I also wanted to throw out there too, just so people know, face-to-face is fine to go to confession, but you can, you have a right to a screen. So if you want to request to go behind the screen with the priest, you really have a right to do that.
Thanks so much, Rachel. We have time to squeeze in one more. Margaret is calling us from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Good morning, Margaret. You're on with Father David Michael.
Good morning, David, Father. Father David Michael Moses. I have watched every video of yours, and you're awesome, and thank you for your yes. I just wanted to share that I was away for probably 20 years from confession, and had the experience I had to do confession for Christ Renews His Parish. I wasn't expecting it, and it happened, and it was beautiful, just like you say. And now every time I go in person, and every time I go, when I'm saying my act of contrition, I just get, when I get to the part, when now I can't even remember the prayer, but because it hurts you, oh Lord, that I just get tearful, because I don't want to hurt Jesus what he did for me. Anyway, that it was just a beautiful experience after that many years. And yes, the priest was awesome.
We have about 30 seconds, Father.
Yeah, well, praise God so much that you came back after those years. And certainly the act of contrition, for us to pray that, is just so healthy to make sure that we're starting fresh with the Lord. And so no matter how long it's been since your last confession, we encourage anyone who's out there to please come back and reset that 20 or 30, 40 years, reset it down to zero and start fresh.
Thanks so much, Margaret. Thanks to all of our listeners. And Father David Michael, thank you for sharing your passion for confession with us here this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for everything that you do.
God bless you. Father David Michael, the parochial vicar of Christ the Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Spring, Texas. And now it is time yet again for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
And with Memorial Day coming up Monday, as we think of the ultimate sacrifice so many gave, our story today called True Friendship Horror gripped the heart of the World War I soldier as he saw his lifelong friend fall in battle. Caught in a trench with continuous gunfire whizzing over his head, the soldier asked his lieutenant if he might go out to the no man's land area between the trenches to bring his fallen comrade back. "You can go," said the lieutenant, "but I don't think it'll be worth it. Your friend is probably dead and you may throw your life away." The lieutenant's advice didn't matter. The soldier went anyway. Miraculously, he managed to reach his friend, hoist him onto his shoulder, and bring him back to their company's trench. As the two of them tumbled in together to the bottom of the trench, the officer checked the wounded soldier and then looked kindly at his friend. "I told you it wouldn't be worth it," he said. "Your friend is dead and you are mortally wounded." "It was worth it, though, sir," said the soldier. "What do you mean worth it?" responded the lieutenant. "Your friend is dead." "Yes, sir," the private answered, "but it was worth it because when I got to him, he was still alive. And I had the satisfaction of hearing him say, 'Jim, I knew you'd come.'" John 15:13, "Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends."
Powerful story, Corner. Thanks again, Glenn, as always. And that'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you on the next edition of Morning Air. Have a blessed Pentecost Sunday and a great Memorial Day weekend. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.